Hi, welcome to today's episode. Today's episode is called Sympathy or Solutions. This is a game-changing way of communicating with someone you love who is going through a hard time. And before we jump in, I just want to set the intention that this helps you lighten relationships and open up communication lines that may not have been open before, because it definitely opened up a whole new world for me when I heard about this. Welcome to the 5-Year Youth Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? This podcast is intended to entertain, educate, and inspire you on a personal journey towards your best self. We are in no position to give advice and are hot messes on the best of our days. Clearly, we're in no position to offer health or medical advice, or really any life advice, but we want to entertain you. Just a reminder, this is not a replacement for proper medical care or therapy. If you are struggling, please seek help from a qualified health professional. Let's jump in. Welcome to today's episode. Today's episode is called Sympathy or Solutions. This is a game-changing way of communicating with someone you love who is going through a hard time. Basically, when someone is having a hard time and they come to us to talk about it, we immediately go into solving mode. We want to give them advice. We want to fix it. But that's not always what people need. And sometimes they want solutions, but often they want sympathy. And this has been game changing for me when you told me about this, Kat.
Yeah, I'm really glad we're doing this episode today. I thought about it recently, and I was trying to remember where I first heard of this. And I think it was in a counseling session many years ago when I was asking a therapist for advice on communicating with the people I love and just trying to learn how to better interact with them. It just seemed like, you know, whether it was the kids or a friend or my spouse at the time, it just felt like I was trying to help so many people when they were going through a hard time. And it just felt like nothing I said was working, or like the advice wasn't taken. And she told me that it's really helpful to ask somebody when they come to you with a problem, are you looking for sympathy or are you looking for solutions?
I love that. I can definitely say that as a man, and I'll speak for my whole gender because it's the only platform that they're ever going to let me do that. I can apologize because we just want to fix things. You know, like when somebody falls down and scrapes their knee, you want to put a Band-Aid on it. You want it to heal. When somebody comes and says, I have a problem, it's kind of like that mechanic-minded mindset. It's a masculine mindset, really, is what it is. Coming in and going, okay, something's not right. We need to fix that. You're going to come to me with this problem, but whether it's internal, external, and I'm going to give you every solution that you can possibly think of so that you can be better now, faster. When you told me about this, I was just flabbergasted because I couldn't imagine that this was a thing. But as we start discussing more kind of masculine and feminine energies, I kind of see more sympathy as like a more of a feminine energy approach, and solutions feels more like a masculine energy approach. I could be totally wrong on that, but like that's just kind of how it sounds when we talk about it.
Yeah. So in the personal development community, when we say masculine and feminine energies, all people have elements of both their masculine and their feminine. And again, this is sort of the definitions in this community and psychology. And the typical masculine energies are fixing, problem solving, usually a little bit more aggressive and things like that. And then the feminine's energies are usually softer. And, you know, we can feel out of alignment with our true selves. For example, if I have to be in my masculine energy because I am a solo parent to my kids, so I'm often like in my masculine, getting things done, paying the bills, doing all this stuff. That's not to say that women don't do those things. It's just a descriptive term. So where you can sort of identify in yourself, oh, like today I had to do like all this masculine energy stuff and I want to feel softer. I want to feel calmer. I want to get like sink into my feminine, sort of it's a way to adjust your energy. And we are going to do an episode on that, but that's just a really a simplistic way to explain it. So when you're saying that, Andrew, yes, that is the case, because typically it's challenging for men in our society to see somebody upset feelings for a lot of men, although this is changing thanks to men like you who are talking about things like this. For a lot of men, feelings make them very uncomfortable. And so men immediately want to go to, oh no, this person's crying. They have a flat tire. You know, I must fix it right now. Who's being mean to you? Oh no, like that's wrong. The, you know, this is broken, whatever it is. And it's a beautiful quality when you're in need of a solution, actually. But sometimes a lot of women go to the men they care about actually looking for sympathy.
And that's good to know. I characterize masculine energy often as like this action-oriented, physically doing something. Yeah. And this ability to sit and just listen is really challenging, I think, when you first start going with it. I'm very new to the whole feminine side of energy, as you know. And when I first heard it, I was told that you need to nurture this side of you because you're very much taking action, taking action, taking action.
Yes.
But you also need to rest. You know, even if you have a ton of energy, your body still needs to rest. It still needs to allow things, allow space and time for things to come to you.
Because we all want balanced energy in general.
Exactly.
The goal is to feel balanced inside of ourselves. So.
And like you said, we've got a whole episode planned for the masculine and feminine energy. I can definitely say that when we were using this in our working relationship with the podcast, even this morning, it came into play. I was working on, I'm getting the website ready for different things. And I was just getting frustrated because I'm not super well-versed in building website code. And I was breaking the podcast over and over and over again, which was really, really fun. Again, to our producer, Steve, who's listening to this, that was my bad and I apologize. And you just kind of were able to come in and you came in with sympathy, not solutions, because you didn't have the solution too, right? And that's not really what I needed.
No, I didn't know how to code the website.
Yeah. So sometimes just coming in and like reminding the solution-minded person like that there's sympathy can actually help. It's just like, I'm here for you. You don't have to get it right now. I know you want it this way, but that's just a you thing and you can change how you see that. And you just gave me a few little perspectives on it. And I finally took a deep breath and I'm like, right, I don't have to have it all figured out today. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. To be honest, like, we're not even saying that solution, I mean, that sympathy is preferable to solutions. We're just saying to ask someone what they need, because I will say that it's amazing how if I need help with something or I need something like done or don't know how to do something, Andrew will know the answer. He will have the answer and he will be able to help me with this that broke, the website, untold things. Like including, you know, I don't know, what was it last week? Like water was leaking into my car and you were like, Catherine, you need to make an appointment at this place and go get your windshield looked at. I'm like, okay, like I'll do it, because the feminine is feeling and the masculine is action taking. And so I could feel all day long and you're like, that's not going to help the windshield.
Like, exactly. You know. And for all of you that aren't watching this on YouTube, I am blushing very badly with Catherine being so complimentary to me. I think that's just a thing. I know for myself and my human design type, which we'll get into another episode, but like, I know I'm very much, I get caught in my own head with thinking, right? And that was going on with the website. It goes on a million times a week for me. What I've found with us working together is by me getting it out and saying it, and you, I guess, holding space is the term for it. When you do that, it's such a relief for me to be able to say something and be like, okay, it's all right. It helps ease the process. It helps release the stress in my own brain, the anxiety that I have, because the bad part about always wanting to take action is a lot of time you always want it to be done, right? You're not satisfied until it's the project's done, the task is completed, the box is checked. And being able to talk about it, being able to share, really does help, gives me sympathy when I'm not even sure if that's what I'm looking for, because I'm so used to like the pragmatics problem solving part, you know, like the sympathy part that comes in is really, really welcomed because I'm so not used to it in my own mind.
Right.
So thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And I will say that if this concept seems foreign to you, this is something that I learned how to do. I was looking to improve my communication style. A few years ago, I had, you know, mostly those masculine traits. I was very ambitious. I still am, but I'm embracing like a much softer, calmer version of myself, just very intense, lots of decision making. And, you know, a lot has changed in the last 2 years. And so when you ask someone for sympathy, it's really a catchy thing to say sympathy or solutions, you know, because alliteration. But it really means that you could have sympathy for someone, you could have empathy for them, or you're really, you know, trying to understand how they feel. Or as Andrew said, you're holding space. And if you're not familiar with the concept of holding space, it's probably the most powerful act of love you can do for somebody in today's generation, because we live in a very, very busy world where things are hectic, where our phones have notifications going off all the time. And somebody you care about comes to you with a problem and they don't want solutions. Maybe you ask. For you to sit there and say, okay, I'm holding space for you. And what that means is I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to type on the computer while you're talking. I'm here to listen. You can cry. You can punch a pillow. You can do the really bad snot cry. That's fine. Whatever you want to do, I'm holding this space for you. Meaning you don't have to be alone when you're trying to figure out this annoying problem. I'm here. And to tell someone that you're willing to have the time for them and set it aside is very powerful. And I've found that with the kids too. I don't know about with your kids, but, you know, I immediately go into like mama bear mode when they're like, oh, this kid pushed me on the playground. I'm like, tell me their name. But a lot of times they just want to get it out. They just want to tell you their worries of the day before they go to bed, and they just want that softness and for you to be like, that sounds like it was really hard. You know, what do you think you should do? Things like that.
I'm definitely the same way with my kids. Your job is to protect them, right?
Yeah.
And so when you hear those things, yeah, you know, it's like, whose tires do I need to go slash? I have not slashed anybody's tires, just
we're
for the record.
We're very peaceful people. Don't mess with our kids.
Yes, I just find that with all that stuff, you know, when you're telling somebody that you're holding space for them, again, very new term for me as well. But when you're holding space for somebody, what it means to me is suddenly I'm not alone in the lifeboat and there's someone there and it's like, you know what? I am going to be trying to patch the hole or get us to shore or whatever. Whatever analogy you want to use.
That's a really good analogy, Andrew. One of your better ones. So
I hate using them up at the beginning of the year because I only have so many in me. You know, it's just nice to know, like, okay, I'm not alone. And after the last few years that we've all gone through as a society, a lot of us are feeling alone. And for you to reach out to somebody is hard enough. But for you to reach out to somebody and have somebody go, I'm here with you. And you hear that, it relaxes you on a different level, because suddenly that was one of the big worries, was that I'm doing all this stuff and I'm alone and this is happening and that's happening. But when someone is holding space for you, it's just, you know, it doesn't matter if they're in the room with you or they're halfway across the world, just knowing that, it really does help. I found that to be a great reliever of stress and anxiety personally.
Yeah, for sure. And for the person who is doing the space holding, it can be hard. Like we probably mentioned at least once every episode that we're both highly sensitive. So, you know, my kids, when they cry, things like that, I deeply feel their tears. You know, I feel their pain and I want to do whatever I can to make it stop. So again, this is a skill, a communication skill that I had to learn and practice, and I still don't get it right all the time. depending on how I'm doing, how well I've slept, sometimes I'm like, okay, you know, do you want sympathy or do you want solutions? Do you want me to help you or just want to tell me about it? You know, and then other times I'm like, what's wrong? What does everyone cry? Can we lower the volume and get to the root of the problem? But, you know, when I'm in my best self, nice and rested, we can do this. And again, the more you practice it, the more it becomes your default. And for me, I had to learn to actually handle people's sadness because I feel it so deeply.
Yeah, I feel it as well. I didn't realize that's what was happening for the longest time. But again, with more self-awareness, the more you can help others as well. I found when it came to using this in the beginning, because I'm definitely a lot newer than at using this than you, that the neural pathway of fixing was a very, very, very deep trench. And I would often notice we'd be in a situation either with you or with my kids or just anyone, and you're in that problem solving mode. And then, you know, you kind of recognize that, wait, I went 5 steps before asking if I should even be on this road. And at any point, you can stop and say, do you need sympathy or solutions? And sometimes it's both, but sometimes it's, you know, I need sympathy first, and then we're going to get to the solutions part. And that has been a very, very powerful thing, I know, for me and for my kids and just for friends. Because sometimes, you know, you go for lunch with somebody and they start ranting about stuff. They don't want you to solve their marriage. They don't want you to solve their problem at work. They just need a little sympathy. And that's good to know, because as the problem solver, and I'm sure, Kat, you can relate to this, mm-hmm. It's kind of frustrating when you solve everybody, the world's problems, and nobody listens to you.
Like, why doesn't anyone like my ideas? I had solutions for everything.
Yeah. We could have world peace in 5 minutes if everybody just listened to me.
Gosh, no. Obviously.
So I think there's that part of it, right? Where it's like, it does relieve a little bit of tension in my own head when I'm like, I don't have to give the solution. I don't have to come up with this crazy solution to this problem that isn't going to probably exist in a week, but I feel like I got to solve it and they're not going to do anything about it. Then I'm going to resent them for wasting my time and not doing the thing that was so easy to do that they just
didn't do. Not taking my great advice. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So for any of you out there that's going like, I don't know if I can sit with somebody while they cry or while they rant or anything, it gets easier as you go. The first time is really uncomfortable. I think I bit through my lip the first time because I had so many good nuggets of advice. Just I can't even get through that with a straight face. I'm sorry. But you know, like you're just like, oh, I can solve. Yeah. Why don't you do that? No. I'm just going to sit here and we're going to listen about why they took your Pokemon card.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other story we don't have time for.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's talk mornings. Do your mornings suck? Ours used to, so we came up with Magic Mornings. Whether you wake up with a kid's foot in your face or have a giant dinosaur to walk every morning, we have a simple system to start your morning off right. Head over to 5yearyou.com/mornings and download it for free.
What I try to do now, and if you're not highly sensitive and like stuff doesn't really bother you and you're just like a chill person, and you're great for people to talk to, but like, good for you. But if you,
what's your secrets?
Yeah, how do you do it? But for me, a lot of the times I will sort of envision like getting into a bubble or like zipping myself into a bubble and like having the person's things like bounce off. And then I sort of like am radiating love out of the bubble. And I know that sounds silly, but like I kind of have to get in it because you don't know when someone's about to like really pour in the heavy stuff on you. And so when someone starts pouring the heavy stuff and I feel myself feeling their feelings, like that deep empathy, if I don't want to start like crying myself and be sad the rest of the day, I've got to zip up and get in the bubble and just sort of like give them love and like, I'm here for you. And, you know, without taking it all the way in as well.
Yeah. I gotta say, the first time I heard this, I mean, my background is in like accounting. And if I can't put it on a spreadsheet, it technically doesn't exist in this universe. And I've gone from that kind of solid material things to all this ethereal energy stuff. And the energy stuff is real. It's just that when you can't see it, it's really hard to understand.
So feelings-based.
It is, yeah. And the more I get into that, the more I can recognize when somebody's energy is like kind of encroaching on mine. But the zipping up thing, as silly as it sounds in the beginning, it works. It's like a lot of things. You don't need to know how it works. It just does. It's a mindset. And if you can kind of keep your energy to yourself and emanate love outwards, like Catherine's saying, then it really does help that person and it protects you. Another good thing to do is to have a process throughout the day. Usually I do mine before bed where I just kind of lie down and I just let go of the things that don't belong to me. You know, like, let's say, this is a great example. If somebody cuts you off in traffic that day and you're holding on to it and holding on to it and holding on to it because you're angry, that's hurting you right now. The guy that cuts you off, or lady, is gone.
Probably one of those moms in the pickup line.
Probably the moms in the pickup line from the or an earlier episode. But when those people do that, you hold on to the anger, you get so put off. And it's not impacting them. It's impacting you. So I just have a process now at the end of the day where I'm like, I let go of everything that isn't mine. And the truth is, the person that cut me off wasn't about me. It was about them. And so you just kind of let that go. Most of these things are not easy. They're simple, but they're not easy. But they get easier as you do them. And it, you know, we're just trying to make new neural pathways, trying to create some new habits every week. And this one, as far as everything goes, is a real game changer. The sympathy or solutions really does alter your relationships with most people, because I do think that as the problem solver, it makes others feel like you're not actually sitting there being sympathetic or holding space. And when they realize you can do both, you can help them in more ways than one.
I agree. And I think it has helped me personally improve a lot of relationships, especially now that it's become a habit. The kids know that when they have a problem, it's not something like, oh, well, if I tell mom, she's going to try to fix it, or she's going to like email the principal or whatever it is she's going to do. You know I can go to her and she's just going to listen if I need her to. And that creates a safe space. And that creates a place in which people feel they can be vulnerable and authentically themselves, which, as we've said in future episodes, really is the key to finding happiness, sort of living as you and being around people who accept you. So that is what this has grown into. And that's why we thought that this would be a useful thing to share with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So today's challenge is, the next time you're having a conversation, ask yourself, is this person wanting sympathy or solutions? And be brave. Ask them. Just say, you know, I feel what you're telling me. I get how this is frustrating you or painful or, you know, a hard emotion of some kind. Do you want sympathy right now or solutions? It will make them usually take a step back and pause to recognize what they're doing, which gives them a little bit of concept outside of themselves, which is always nice. And then they'll give you one of the two answers or both, and you can proceed from there. If you're in problem solving mode, it's going to relieve a lot of stress for you because you're suddenly not on duty to act and fix. You can just sit there passively and be a good shoulder to cry on, so to speak.
Beautiful. Well, I think it's time for the glimmers.
Ooh, glimmers. Every week, Kat and I like to share something that has made us smile or that we're enjoying or just a little something personal so you know a little more about us. So, Kat, what's your glimmer?
Yeah, it's kind of related to this episode. And this has made me smile for like weeks now. So I'm going to share it. So I might have mentioned on a previous episode, but I have twins and they're boy-girl twins. And they are not in the same class at school, but they have recess together. And we've been dealing with a little boy who's kind of a bully and, you know, trying to give them tools to handle it and listening to them. But the greatest thing is that it's given me lots of practice with sympathy or solutions. But it's nice that they have each other. So this little boy was poking my daughter at recess, poking her with his fingers, poke, poke, poke. And she was telling him to stop and go away. And he was chasing her and, you know, little kid stuff.
So clearly doesn't like her.
No. Doesn't have no a crush on her at all. He just,
no.
Just, but, you know, he was poking her. And my son, her twin brother, who is a sweet boy, but man, something new came over him. And apparently, in front of a bunch of other kids and my daughter, he said, "Hey, you keep poking my sister, I'm going to poke you."
I like it. I love that.
And I don't condone violence or kids poking each other, but, you know, it was kind of nice that, you know, he stood up for his sister. It made me smile. And
he poked the bear's sister. He deserves it.
Exactly. I'm glad they had each other. And I haven't heard much about that kid messing with him in the last week or two. So I think it kind of worked.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize that it hadn't happened again. That's fantastic.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I should have gone first because mine's going to suck now compared to that.
No.
I am trying to create more of a peaceful environment where in my place. And so I'm trying to get my mind to shut off. So I got a drift table from, I think it's HomeMedics. I got it out of Amazon. It's a giant bowl, it's like 16 inches wide and it's got sand on top. It's like, you know, one of those sand gardens that like you see in all the stores, except this is mechanized. So there's a little marble that sits in it and there's magnets underneath and it moves the ball around in different patterns. And you just kind of sit there and watch it as it goes. And it's really, really, really relaxing. It's just cool how, the patterns that it can do. It's got like hundreds and hundreds of patterns. There's Valentine's Day patterns. It's just really, really cool. So I've shared a couple of them on my feed, but it's really relaxing. And there's like an LED light that kind of, you can set the color to it and change it. And you can change the speed and the brightness and everything. So really just a little fun thing. But I've always found like I can't stare at a candle for hours, like people say when they meditate, but this is really nice. Like I've actually barely watched TV this week since getting it because I just kind of like staring at it and as it makes the patterns. It's very relaxing.
That sounds so nice. I'm really glad that you bought that for yourself. Your house is turning into just a chill vibe for sure.
It is. I want to come home and I want to always feel like I am safe. I can relax. I can just let go of the stress of the day. And I feel like I'm getting that with every little thing. So that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you have a glimmer, just let us know at hello@5yearyear.com.
We're always rooting for you and we'd love to hear about it.
Well, thank you for listening. Remember, it doesn't matter where you've started from or where you're coming from. It matters where you're going.
And we are rooting for you. Hey guys, thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you want to update your morning routine, head on over to 5yearyou.com/mornings and download our guide. It's our gift to you. Have a great day.